Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
888-808-1019 is the phone number. We'll take a break from those calls, though, for a brief moment. We'll talk a little Rangers with Vince Mercogliano for USA Today, Loha.com, and SNY. Talk about this Rangers season, how we feel about it now, and how we see it improving, which obviously they need to do, because as great as a regular season, falling in the Eastern Conference Finals just isn't good enough. So, Vince, what's going on, man? Thank you for joining me. How are you?
Good, Chris. I'm just catching my breath finally, so I'm doing all right. How
about
you?
It's been exciting. Unfortunately, it is ultimately disappointing. I guess I'll just start there with you. It's a little bit of a subjective question here, but you follow the team all year. What's the level of disappointment? And now being a day away from it, because I feel like there's with the Knicks too, like there's been this level of where the fan base is kind of torn between what a great regular season it was and how we could take a step back and look at everything that happened and the coaching change and how it changed the team and Panarin taking more shots and the 112 points, but the ultimate failure of this season. How do you view this Rangers season a day away or a couple days after losing in the Eastern Conference Finals?
Yeah, it's kind of a tough one, Chris, because you could go in two directions.
Right.
You could look at the season that they had, probably the most memorable season since that run to the Cup 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of fans had their hopes very high coming off of the regular season, winning the President's Trophy, all the things that seemed to go their way this season, new franchise record in wins, in total points. They set the combined NHL record for comeback wins between the regular season and playoffs. The stadium series, you touched on Panarin, the Matt Rempe mania. There were just so many exciting stories surrounding this team over the season. So it was an entertaining season, no doubt about it.
Right.
But I do think that they got the hopes of the fan base so high, and everyone started talking about this as a team of destiny and having a nice round number 30 years later after 1994, all the parallels that we were drawing to that 1994 team. The fan base was hungry for it to go longer than this. The expectation level for this team, I think, has risen. When they made that trip to the Eastern Conference Final 2 years ago, it felt a little bit like they were arriving ahead of schedule. It felt like they were building towards something greater. So while they accomplished a lot this season, and I don't think that you can completely discard that,
right?
You know, it's hard to say cup or bust. You also do have to look at the stage where this team is now, where a lot of their core guys are 30 years old or older. And you know, the moves that Chris Drury has made in recent years that are very much win-now moves, this was a team that was built to win now. So coming up short is a disappointment, and I can certainly tell you from being in the locker room after Game 6 on Saturday night, they were devastated in there. There was a lot of emotion in that room, so they certainly thought that they were going to keep marching on. I know the fan base was very hopeful for that, so there's certainly a lot of disappointment in the aftermath
now. You mentioned high hopes. Were they too high? Was this team, the great regular season, the great start, obviously propelled them. You know, Quick was so important at different times of the season. It came from all over. You mentioned the Rempe stuff. They managed to hold off Carolina. They get the President's Trophy. You're right. The fan base's hopes were high. But you, looking at this team, and you saw what happened when they played the Florida Panthers, and the Panthers were favored. The Carolina Hurricanes were favored in this series. Was the expectations of this team unfair, or was this team capable of it and just didn't play well enough?
It's a good question. I do believe that the expectations were rightfully high. When you win the President's Trophy,
right,
you should expect that you're capable of winning the Stanley Cup. But here's where I think the problem lies, and this is where they're really going to have to look in the mirror this offseason. This team, the way I wrote it the other day, mostly won on goaltending, and we know they have world-class goaltending. You could argue Igor is the best in the NHL. Special teams, they were a top three power play team, a top three penalty kill team in the regular season. And early on in the playoffs, both of those units were humming. So the special teams looked like it was on point. And then the way that I wrote it the other day is they've had this kind of pixie dust feel. I talked about the comeback wins. I talked about all the clutch moments with this team. It felt like they had these guys, especially their top players, who seemed to come through in the clutch moments. They played games in the regular season, quite frankly, where they got outplayed for long stretches. They looked like they didn't deserve to win, but they always seemed to find a way.
Right.
And so the combination of those three things, I think, led a lot of people to believe that there was something special going on with this team. And if they could keep all three of those things clicking, that maybe they would be able to get it done. What I think has been exposed is that at even strength, at 5-on-5, where the majority of most games are played, especially in the playoffs, the Rangers, and this is the reason that a lot of the betting odds were against them, the analytics have kind of portrayed them as a middling 5-on-5 team for a number of years now. They don't produce a lot of offensive 5-on-5 outside of that Panarin, Trocheck, Lafreniere line.
Right.
I think that's been exposed as an issue. And you also have a lot of their key guys, the guys who came through for them time and time again in the regular season, like Panarin, like Zibanejad, like Adam Fox, who were not able to maintain those kind of elite levels in the playoffs. And that's happened a few times now for some of these guys. So there are legitimate questions moving forward. And I think the sustainability of being able to stack as many wins as they did without improving your play at 5-on-5 at even strength, that's something that I feel like has kind of been exposed now based on how these playoffs went. Because the Panthers, if you know anybody who watched those games, even though the scores were close, the Panthers outplayed them in pretty much all of those games. They dominated possession. So it was pretty clear that the Rangers were a cut below the Panthers.
No doubt. And then you mentioned the Stars, obviously, and that's the big talking point after this series. You mentioned that their inability to get any scoring chances, the inability of Panarin on any level to impact this series. I understand, you know, they put pressure on him, and Lafreniere was able to kind of step up and score some goals. We acknowledge that. But I guess my question is this, when you get to it, because you mentioned it's been a couple years now where Panarin's kind of, he's nowhere in the Devil series. He disappears in the Tampa Bay series a couple years ago, really that entire playoffs. And when there's a level, is it just, like, do you get to a point with Panarin where there is a style of play by taking away his space, and that he is a player, as great as he may be over the course of the regular season, that this goes beyond not playing well for a stretch, struggling in the postseason, but there is a particular way to play him that takes him out of these games, that he is defendable when it comes down to these playoff series?
Yeah, it's a legitimate question, and the evidence that we've seen in the last three playoffs, you even go back to that run in 2022, I know from speaking to him, he was not happy with how he played on that run.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the points this year overall for the playoffs are actually better for him than they had been on a per-game basis.
Had a couple of game-winning goals. I mean, you know.
Yeah, he had four game-winning goals in these playoffs. But what we saw with him, and what we also saw with Mika Zibanejad, and to be honest with you, Mika, his, I don't want to call it a disappearing act, but his drop-off in the Eastern Conference Final was, in some ways to me, even more concerning than what we saw from Panarin, because Mika's a guy that they count on in these difficult matchups. And with both of those guys, it seemed, as the playoffs went on, as the competition got stiffer, they were less and less noticeable, less and less impactful for the Rangers. You saw Mika go the final 11 games of the playoffs without scoring a goal. And in the final 8 games, he only had one assist at 5-on-5. So he was pretty much a non-factor offensively. And listen, Mika gets the toughest defensive assignments a lot of the time, but he also needs to be able to push back. He needs to be able to produce some points. He's their number one center. And it seems like players like Panarin and Zibanejad, and you touched on Panarin, you know, he's a smaller guy. He's definitely not the strongest or most physical guy. And it does seem like the style of play, especially the best teams like the Florida Panthers, who have that smothering forecheck that they play with, and they've got some really in-your-face, big, strong, fast, physical kind of guys in their lineup. It does seem like that is not a good matchup for Panarin, and he is not able to create the space that he needs to operate, because he's an elite playmaker, but he's not the guy that's going to make plays in the dirty areas, in the net front, in the slot. You know, he did a better job during the regular season of getting to those spots, but it seemed like as the ice tightened in the playoffs, it was harder for him to be effective. Where on the other side, you had the number one winger for the Panthers in Matthew Tkachuk and the number one center in Sasha Barkov. Those are the exact opposite. Those are big, strong guys who can get to their spot, and their game seemed to elevate in the playoffs. So it seemed like the Rangers' stars just weren't able to match up with them.
And you mentioned Zibanejad. How much of this do you put towards, and you talked about his drop-off, especially, you know, not his best of seasons, but early on in the postseason was very good against Washington and played well at times against Carolina and then disappeared. So how much do you put it just his drop-off or the inability to find that third player on that line with him and Kreider? How much do you put it that, and there's a lot of talk about the inability of getting that guy at the trade deadline and getting more of like the the filler roster pieces instead of that that great player to put on that line. How much do you put on the inability of finding that other piece to that line at the failures of Zibanejad in the series?
Well, the right wing spot on that line has been a revolving door for 3 years now, ever since they traded Pavel Buchnevich to St. Louis, which is still a trade that I know Rangers fans hate and will lament probably for a long time. They have not been able to fill that spot. Frank Vetrano gave them a nice spark when they acquired him at the trade deadline a couple of years ago in 2022, but he was a rental. He never had really much of a chance of coming back, it didn't look like. So they keep trying different guys. I think it's like 20-something total guys that they've tried there in the last 3 years. So that has been an issue, and certainly does not help the production from Kreider and Zibanejad. And, yeah, you can look at it and say, would Drury have been better off going out and getting a guy like a Jake Gensel, a higher-end guy who would have solidified that spot? That certainly would have helped the Rangers' chances. I still don't know if that would have been enough to push them past a team like Florida. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, whoever's playing in that spot, and they do need to improve that. They certainly need to go out and find a guy who's going to be more stable there. But Zibanejad and Kreider are the guys that are supposed to drive that line.
Right.
And they were too hot and cold in these playoffs. Kreider obviously had the outstanding moment in Game 6 against Carolina, and that kind of cements his legacy, and it's hard to knock him too much. But even in the following series, the conference final, he was very much hot and cold and really wasn't as much of a presence as you'd want him to be. But Zibanejad in particular, it seems to me, you know, you can look around the league, and I would certainly rate him as one of the, let's say, top 20 centers in the NHL right now.
Okay.
But there's an upper echelon. There's a tier above him when you're talking about guys like, you know, obviously McDavid and McKinnon are kind of the class of the NHL right now. But even a guy like Barkov, I think, is a level above Zibanejad. And it seems that in a lot of those matchups where he's against that tippy-top tier, they seem to get the better of him. And that's something that the Rangers have to look at now as well is, you know, Mika is a legitimate number one center. Again, I think one of the top 20 in the league, but is he going to be a guy who's going to be able to bring you over the hump when he's going to have to go ultimately against the very best in the league? And that has been a block in the road for him in the last couple of years.
And you lead right to my next question, Vince. We're talking to Vince Mercogliano, USA Today, Lohard and SNY. As we transition from what went wrong to what needs to change, can this group win? We just talked about you just brought up Zibanejad, his positives and yet his negatives, the way it seems like Panarin can be shut down in a physical style of play, the one that the Panthers brought in this series. Can this team moving forward have the level of need placed on Zibanejad and placed on Panarin? Can they go into next year? Can they expect to get past where they've been if they are going to rely this much on this core of stars, or do significant changes to the main group need to be changed?
Chris, that is the ultimate question. That is going to ultimately dictate, I think, Chris Drury's level of success and his legacy as the team president and general manager here. You know, I know a couple years ago when he first took the job that he certainly explored the possibility of trading for Jack Eichel, who ultimately went to Vegas, won a cup there. I think that they had visions of adding an elite center to this team who would have made Mika basically the number two and made the Rangers arguably the strongest team down the middle in the league. The trade never came to be. I think they felt like they were close and Buffalo kept moving the finish line. So ultimately what we saw Drury do was he locked up a lot of the guys that the previous general manager, Jeff Gorton, had brought in. Guys like Zibanejad, guys like Fox. Obviously, Panarin was already under contract. Kreider, Trouba. So they have tied up the vast majority of their salary cap space. The one move that Drury did make that has proved to be very successful is bringing in Vincent Trocheck, who, in my opinion, was the Rangers' best skater in the playoffs this year. So Trocheck looks like a very smart signing.
Right.
But they have this core very much locked in. So now the question is, do you continue to ride this core while trying to fill in around the edges and hope that eventually, through years of ups and downs and playoff highs and lows, that they'll break down the door, similar to what we saw the Washington Capitals do in 2018, where they had years of coming up short and then finally, you know, things kind of fall into their place 1 year and they're able to get it done? Or do you look at this group and say, they've plateaued? And especially, I think, the hard thing for me to swallow right now is Igor Shesterkin played out of his mind in these playoffs. They already have probably the best goalie in the league, and they still weren't able to capitalize on that. So that, to me, speaks volumes about this core and tells me that I do think this core does need to be improved. The question is, how do you do it? Because
right.
Zibanejad has a no move clause.
Yeah.
Panarin has a no move clause. Trocheck has a no move clause. So those guys in all likelihood aren't going anywhere.
Right.
The interesting cases are going to be on July 1st, both Chris Kreider and Jacob Trouba have to submit a 15-team trade list to the Rangers, which means there will be 16 teams left that either one of those could be traded to. So even though those would both be pretty seismic changes, they could also both expose a lot of salary cap space for the Rangers. Will Drury look to go down one of those roads? I certainly don't think they want to get rid of Kreider. The noise right now is around Trouba because he had a rough playoff.
Oh, rough.
Even though he's the captain and all that, you know. So there's some really tough decisions to make. But the question is going to be, can you keep running it back with this core and expect to get better results, or do you need to make more substantial changes? Much like we saw the Panthers do a few years ago when they went out and traded their leading scorer and traded a top pair defenseman
to get Matthew Tkachuk.
Look at what that has done for them. That has propelled them to the next level. And you could make an argument that the Rangers need to maybe think about a bold move in a similar vein. The question is, what is that move? You know, is there a move out there that makes sense where all the pieces would fall into place? It's obviously easier said than done, but I do think it needs to be explored.
Well, absolutely. And what would for those two pieces, I mean, what are the value? What value does Chris Kreider bring? What value does Trouba bring? If those are the two pieces you're looking to move as an asset, what kind of value do those players have? A Chris Kreider who, you know, is an excellent penalty kill, an excellent power play player, gets in front of the net. But as we've seen over the course of this year, I don't know how much he helps you 5-on-5. And he's, you know, about to get into his mid-30s. And we saw the way, the captain just played it. Trouba just played. I mean, what value do they have to make impact moves?
Yeah, Kreider, I think, would certainly have some value. I think a lot of teams would be interested in him. But he's the longest tenured Ranger. He's on pace to maybe end up being the Rangers' all-time leading goal scorer.
Right.
He's already their all-time leading playoff goal scorer.
It's a hard pill to swallow.
That would be a tough pill to swallow. Yeah, that's one I think I would be surprised to see them go down that road. Not totally shocked, given everything we just talked about. But I think Trouba is a guy that would be easier for them to part with. The question is the value, like you just talked about, on the open market with him. I'm not so sure. That might even require you to attach an asset to him in order to entice another team to take him, especially if you're asking them to take on his full $8 million salary.
Right.
You know, he's a well-respected guy in the locker room. I think very accountable, you know, definitely behind the scenes. I think does a lot of good things from a leadership standpoint. Still has the size and toughness and physicality that a lot of teams value from a defenseman. But I think the foot speed has increasingly been an issue. And I think that the defensive lapses have been more and more obvious.
Yeah.
This stat was pretty jarring to me. In the last two rounds combined against Carolina and Florida, the Rangers gave up 35 goals. Trouba was on ice for 17 of them. That's just about half. So not all of those are his fault, obviously, and some of those come on the penalty kill. So you got to take that with a little bit of a grain of salt. But the reality is the Rangers give up more goals when he's on the ice than pretty much any of their other defensemen.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that I think diminishes the value for sure. But there's other guys too. You know, they have some restricted free agents. Like, would they be willing to part with a Ryan Lindgren? Kaapo Kakko is a guy that I think is very much up in the air, his status right now, especially after they made him a healthy scratch in game two. So it's not just, you know, either going to be Trouba or Kreider, and they could keep all of these guys, but you got to give to get, and you especially, in order to, I think, fill the needs that they have, and I think they have multiple needs, you need to free up some salary cap space. That's really the big thing.
Right.
And so to do that, you're going to have to find a way to shave something, and that's probably going to force them to make a tough decision one way or another.
Yeah. No, and you're right, because you mentioned having Igor in his prime. I mean, they just went through a generation of Hank. And I joked before, it's like having Favre into Rodgers. It's having Manning into Luck. I mean, to go through what could be 20, 25 years of these two goalies and not come away with a championship would be just devastating. And the way Igor's played has been just incredible, and it's, you can't waste it. So I agree with you. Vince, thank you so much. One last question then. So we talked about it. Drury has made impact moves. He recognized the coach needed to go. He gets rid of the coach. They have the toughness issue against Washington a couple years ago. They go out and try and get tougher. Your guess, how different does this team look? We went through the different guys who could go. What does Drury do? Do you think he makes major changes? How different does this team look next year?
I do think it will look different, and I definitely think he's going to explore something bigger and splashier. I don't think it's going to be quite as different as maybe segments of the fan base are clamoring for right now. I mean, I would warn everybody, I don't think that they're going to move two or three of their core players. It might be like one of those guys to free up some salary cap space and then plug a couple holes. But I mean, you know, the argument too, and it's an interesting conversation right now, is what is the biggest need? You talked about the right wing spot on the top line with Kreider and Zibanejad. A lot of people would argue they really need to solidify that with a proven goal scorer, and I think you could certainly make a case there. But also center, to me, is a really important position, especially with the injury history of Filip Hedl. Yeah. So you could argue that they need a center. You could also argue that the decor, as currently constructed right now, given some of the struggles we talked about with Trouba, and the entire decor, I thought, against Florida, had issues, especially breaking the puck out of their own zone. Mm-hmm. They could use guys that are probably bigger and more mobile and better puck movers back there. So they could also use a piece or two on defense. And then you could even go further and say, okay, well, their bottom six got outplayed by Florida. They probably need to add a little more of that grit and that forecheck and those guys who do the type of things that help you win come playoff time. So, I mean, you could go down the list and say this team needs a lot of stuff. Yeah. They don't have the salary cap space to do it all. So I think they're going to be somewhat limited, but I do think that Drury is going to explore moves, probably involving the names that we discussed. And I do wonder, is there a big fish out there, a guy that he could shake loose? It's probably not going to be free agency. It's more likely to be a trade. Is there a guy that he can get out there who's a culture changer the way that Matthew Tkachuk was for the Florida Panthers? I know a lot of people are talking about Matthew's brother, Brady, who's in a losing situation in Ottawa right now, but that would probably have to be a massive trade package to get him. I don't know if the Rangers have the ammunition to do it, but I do think that they need to explore being bold and then go from there and go to plan B if they're not able to make that happen.
Yeah. And I feel like Drury is the bold kind of general manager. So I kind of expect him to at least attempt significantly to try and make it happen. Well, Vince Mercogliano, USA Today, Low HUD, SMY, thank you very much for a few minutes. I appreciate it. Who you got in the finals? Edmonton plays a somewhat similar style with obviously maybe a couple of stars who've been better come playoff time. But this smothering defense of Florida, they're favored in the series. Who do you like in the Stanley Cup final?
It might be a little recency bias just because I watched part of Florida play for the last six games and I was thoroughly impressed with them. I mean, I thought that they were top to bottom better than the Rangers and really, really good in pretty much every facet of the game. So I would lean towards Florida, but also Connor McDavid is my favorite player to watch in the league.
Incredible.
If people that aren't huge hockey fans, if you watch this guy play, you're going to be amazed. I mean, you know, it would not shock me if he puts that team on his back and they have Leon Draisaitl. They have some high-end talent in Edmonton. They also have a familiar face on the bench in Chris Knobloch, who was the AHL coach in the minor leagues for the Rangers for a few years, so I know that one burns Rangers fans a little bit as well. I think it's going to be a good series, but I would lean towards Florida. I just think they're built for this. They have all the ingredients to win at this time of year, and I think we're going to see that play out.
All right, I don't know how I feel about it. You, it's one of those things where you want to say you lost to the best or you're so bitter you want them to go down. But ultimately, I guess I just want some good games. So thank you, Vince. I appreciate it. We'll talk again sometime, man. I appreciate a few minutes.
Yeah, no problem, Chris. Thanks for having me.
All right, be well. Vince Mercogliano of USA Today, Low HUD, SNY, gave you some good stuff. I do think they need some significant changes. I don't think you can just, even if it's just adding another winger to that line and getting another dynamic scorer, I think you have to change the fundamentals of this team right now. How many years can you go through with these guys who can't hang with the tougher teams, who can't get through these kind of series? I mean, it's just frustrating. Paulie, I know you're frustrated. You think you got the answer to his question of guys who might be out there?
Yeah, they're in a tough spot, as Vince was saying, with the cap, with the no trade clauses and the no move clauses that all these players have in the NHL, which is a lot different than the other sports. So they have a really, really interesting cap to take a look at.
Right.
I think what Linda Cohn mentioned on X today with finding a way to get Brady Tkachuk would be borderline perfect. Because you put him on that top line with Mika and Kreider, and there's your toughness, there's your grittiness, all that other stuff. All that being said, and I try to be objective when I talk about sports, right? If they get Brady Tkachuk, and if they again lose in the Stanley in the Eastern Conference Finals next year, what's next? Right. Then what do we do?
Well,
so it's So honestly, you hope to hit the right stride at the right exact time. Like, you want to get hot at the right time. Listen, the goalie is going to hopefully be here for a while, even though he's going to have to get paid too. And that contract, he's going to be the highest paid goaltender probably in the history of the league. So that is another factor. They're not going to let him go. Mm-hmm. Now, they can try to convince him to try to sign a team-friendly deal, but the guy is going to want, you know, $8, $9, $10 million a year.
Right.
Which is a lot because the NHL cap, I think, is like $83.5 million per year right now. So they have a lot of tough decisions to make. And again, this is coming off this year where they won the President's Trophy that is borderline rendered meaningless because they didn't win.
No, well, the President's Trophy is absolutely rendered meaningless. No, I mean, that you can still have a good regular season. And, you know, Vince talked about it. All the come-from-behind wins, the games where it was like they were dominated and pulled it out. Like, you could still remember that, but the actual having the most points means absolutely nothing.
Right.
That means absolutely nothing.
And I agree with that. Obviously, Boston had it last year.
It means absolutely nothing.
And who beat them? The Panthers.
That's true. That is true. But, hey, you know, the Columbus Blue Jackets beat the Tampa Bay Lightning, and they didn't really go on to do much, did they? The Great Torts. John Tortorella. How I miss him. And it's funny, too, because I told the story. When I was a Ranger fan my whole life. I lost them for a little bit. And when I say lost, I cared less. I'll be honest. I cared less for a time. I got really back into the Rangers in 2012, the road to the Winter Classic, HBO show, Rangers versus Flyers. And now the coaches have switched, ironically. But I remember Laviolette and really liking him. Like, I just remember that series was great. I fell in love with that team, the shot-blocking nature, Torts, that group. And it was really the beginning of that run where they were playing all those playoff games every single year. And again, to go through the Lundqvist era and now have Igor, who might be better, and at the top of his game probably is better, and to have him, they got to figure out a way to win this freaking thing. They just have to.
Can you imagine having Richter, essentially, Richter, Lundqvist, Shesterkin, back-to-back-to-back, back-to-back-to-back,
well, over how 3 years were in between Richter and Lundqvist?
Over 3 decades, essentially.
Yeah, there's a couple years in between.
A couple of years.
Yeah.
And having one championship.
Not good
between
enough.
Those three goaltenders.
Not good enough. I totally agree.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.